What's up, everyone? Welcome to episode number 442 of the Action Movie Guys podcast. I'm your host, Nate, and my co-host is
Alex Figueroa.
And on this episode, Alex and I are going to be wrapping up our water-themed action movies. We paired these with the G.I. Joe franchise. That was three movies, so this is our third and final of the water-based action films. A movie from 2000, the year to Y2K. Called U571. I got some fun facts as always. I got some information, a little background. We got some Rotten Tomato scores. Before we do all that, Alex, have you seen this movie? Have you heard of this movie before this?
I'm not gonna lie, Nate. I never heard of it. I never even saw it. This is the first time watch. But you know what? I can't wait to talk about it because I feel like due to the podcast, palette of watching movies have been changing throughout the years that we've been doing the podcast. So we'll talk about it and I'll explain why once we start bringing down this movie.
Yes. Okay. I'm excited then. I'm very much looking forward to hearing about that. Now, this is I have never seen this movie. This was the first time watch for me as well, but I know of it mostly because it's a Universal movie and this used to have, so at Universal Studios here in Orlando, there used to be a ride called Earthquake. It was based on the movie, the 70s movie Earthquake. But there was a pre-show segment where Universal showed like how they made a lot of movie effects with disaster movies or whatever. With Earthquake, they also had clips from U571 because this came out in 2000. So this would have been like when I was a teenager. So for a while, they would have like the little, they had like a little submarine model. They had all this stuff. That was pretty much my exposure to it. So I'd never seen it, but I knew it existed. Now, this is directed by Jonathan Mostow, who has done one movie that I love. And then a couple other movies that I've seen before this, the movie he did right before this was a 1997 movie, which is the one I love, with Kurt Russell called Breakdown, where his wife goes missing and he's a trucker. Well, no, he's not a trucker. There's truckers. His wife goes missing. He has to try to find her. It's a thriller. Very good movie. The movie he did directly after this is a movie we already covered here, Terminator 3, Rise of the Machines. So he directed Terminator 3. And then the last one is a movie we haven't done yet, but I feel like we might, which is a sci-fi film with Bruce Willis called Surrogates. So those are kind of his four, you know, movies that came out that had big releases. Everything else is kind of like either low key or I never even heard of it. So have you seen it? I know you've seen Terminator. Have you seen Breakdown? Have you seen Surrogate?
I never heard of Breakdown. I remember Surrogate because I remember that was like a big movie. Wasn't that they were promoting it big? Is that the one that they, I don't want to spoil
it. Bruce Willis and it's like robots.
That they put themselves in a machine and then they're like, they're different from they look
surrogate. You're like a robot that goes out or whatever. I don't know.
It was like, there was a message to it. I remember there was like a big message to like people to like the independent of like AI or their opinions and stuff.
Yeah.
Kind of remember that. Yeah.
I have this movie on Blu-ray.
Yes, I have that. Yes, I've seen that movie.
We're definitely going to add it at some point. Maybe in like sci-fi month or something like that.
I don't remember as much, but yeah, I remember enjoying it for what it was.
It's got Ving Rhames with dreadlocks, so you know we got to watch.
And his wife was like mad ugly, and then she was like hot.
She's all decrepit, but her surrogate version is like very beautiful.
Yeah, and he got Pike. Pissed. Yeah, I remember, yeah.
Okay, so he directed these movies. Now, a Breakdown you got to watch, but you'll love it. It's a 90s movie. It's Kurt Russell. It's great. This movie came out 2000. It was a success. It did well. It also was nominated for a couple of Academy Awards. It won for Best Sound Editing. This also, one of our boys was a screenwriter on this, David Ayer, one of the writers for U571. Crazy good cast, actually. You got Matthew McConaughey. You got Bill Paxton. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Harvey Keitel, John Bon Jovi is in this. Yeah, but he's there. Yeah. Thomas Kretschmann, who's the submarine, the German one. He's been in a bunch of stuff. So yeah, a good cast, successful. There was a little bit before I get to the scores and we review it. Mm-hmm. A little bit of a not backlash, but when it came out and it did well, a lot of people complain about the historical inaccuracy of this movie. Now, we're not going to get into that part because I'm not a historian and this is not a historian podcast.
Yeah.
However, I think the beef was that this story, if you remember at the end of the movie, they show all these like things that happened, you know, 1940.
Yeah, by them getting the Enigma.
This story in this movie didn't happen. But I don't think they were trying to do a true story. I think they were just trying to show a story that could have happened set during World War II type of thing. So I think the complaints are, to me, I think it's silly Because there's plenty of movies that are based in World War II that are fiction, right? Like, it doesn't have to be. You could use World War II as a setting. And I don't think this never claimed to be a true story.
Accurate. Yeah.
So, never said. You know, there was a little bit of that, you know, backlash, but whatever. Let me give you some scores. They're only, I would say they're decent, not amazing. A 68% with the critics. So it is fresh, but not crazy high. And a 62% with audiences. So also fresh, but not super high. So at least you get the double fresh on this one.
Yeah.
All right, let's get into it because I know you've never seen this movie. I've never seen this movie. I love doing first time watches here. We're going to start with our lead now. Matthew McConaughey is the lead character, but it is a bit of an ensemble, like some of these war movies tend to be. So I'll let you take it away.
All right. So, okay. So I really liked the characters. I thought they were all well placed and picked for the roles. Now, I can see the backlash, but again, I think that's very nitpicking in terms of, because the movie never indicates true story. It just gives you a date in the beginning, 1942, and it gives you what's going on, and then it goes right into the story. So it never even said anything that would allude to this is exactly what happened, but okay, it is what it is. But in terms of the characters, I think Matthew McConaughey did a great job leading the pack. He was good. Bill Paxton was very fun. Kind of missed him on screen. But he was really good as the general or whatever he was. You had some big dudes in this, bro.
Harvey Keitel.
Yeah, Harvey Keitel. He was really good. You had a lot. Let's just do it this way because I'll break down everyone's performances. There's way too many cast members to even remember. Because they even had the guy from Dust Till Dawn in this film. He was the guy with the blonde hair that he beat the guy, the German, with the wrench. Because he was sending Morse codes and blow up the UFs, whatever. So I'll say this. As an ensemble, amazing. They're great. Together, they did a hell of a job on screen. I gave it a 5. I think they did a great job. I was glued from the minute they captured the submarine. I was into the film. I don't know why. I just got into it. And I guess it felt, to me, it kind of had that 007 Crimson Tide feel to the film because they had to like infiltrate this thing as so I kind of loved it. I thought it was pretty cool and stuff happens, which we'll talk about. But in terms of that, I gave it a 5. I was really enjoying the characters. I thought they were really good.
Nice. Okay. Yeah, I gave it a 4. Only 1 point under you, but and the only reason is that there's so many characters, which you said it. There's so many. I think McConaughey is very good. And I like his storyline, how he wants to be a captain of his own, you know, his own ship. But Bill Paxton, who, you know, they're friends, but like he's also like over him. And he did not recommend him because he says he doesn't think he has the ability to just make the call right then, you know, like whatever.
Sacrifice people.
Yeah, he's not willing to do it. And so he looked at it as sort of a detriment. And so I like that dynamic. Like, I like that the movie starts with that. That way, as it goes, you know what? It kind of reminded me of Battleship. How that guy is like not fit to be a captain.
That's
and
true.
Then all of a sudden he's thrust into it. And how does he respond? I think these are tropes that work for these kind of movies. You know what I mean? How do you respond when you got to do something you don't think you're ready to do? Star Trek does it. Captain Kirk, not ready. Are you going to be able to do it? But I think it makes for good drama in these sorts of movies. So I'm okay with it. So I like, and I think McConaughey is very good in this. You know, this was pre where he just started being in rom-coms all the time. Mm. He had that period where like he was a good actor, then did a bunch of rom-coms and now is good again. This was when he was in his first like good phase. Bill Paxton, I agree with you. I wish he was in it more, but you know, his death, you know, it's important to the story. So it's fine. But I love Bill Paxton all the time. Harvey Keitel. It's great to see him because he's playing like a side role and he's like a lead actor. He's been a lead actor in a ton of movies. And he's like, you know what? I'll take the side, but he's good. He's older, but he's not in charge. You might think, oh, he's going to be the one that takes charge. Nope. McConaughey all the way. And I like all the guys like together. I like all the guys. They all have their roles. You got like the mechanic guys. You got the guy who speaks German, who is like nervous and never done nothing. You got to speak German. Yeah. So I like them. I just wish they focused. I wish McConaughey like was a little more, like they gave him a little more to chew on. Cause there's a lot of scenes where he's just kind of quiet or just kind of, you know, doing whatever. Not a bad performance. And maybe that's just me being greedy, but I gave it a 4, but I could see a 5 too. I think they're good characters. I don't really have an issue. And this style of movie, you got to remember the style of movie we're doing here. It's like a war film with like 20 characters in it. So, all right, villains. Now, obviously the Nazis are a villain in the World War II, but in here, we have Thomas Kretschmann as the captain of the U-571. And then there's guys. So I don't know. What did you think of the villain element here?
I wasn't too crazy. Normally I do. Normally when we do these type of movies, I give kudos. But this time I can't because they're, first of all, they're in the beginning, they're in the end, and he gets captured in the middle. That's pretty much it. And he does do stuff. He does do pinnacle stuff for the story to annoy, right? He shuts off the engine or he'll send Morse codes. Yes, great. But other than that, he does kill two people. So I do give points to that. He does kill and try to kill the mechanic, but he killed the other guy. So I did give kudos. But other than that, there was no formidable villains here because these guys are there to try to capture this Eggma computer to decipher the Nazis coding system. And then they're trying to bring it home to the United States. So I gave it a 3. I put it in the middle because I felt like they, you know, even when the destroyer came up, I was like, oh, damn, they're fucked. I was like, oh, damn, because they had no weapon systems. So that was intense. But other than that, honestly, that was the most threat to the film was the destroyer because those dudes could have just destroyed. I mean, they could have did some serious damage. So, again, and that's where I gave most of my points to and the captain. But other than that, not formidable. So I gave it a 3.
Yeah, we have the same score. Yeah, I gave it a 3, too. I love Thomas Kretschmann as an actor. He's great. Been in some Marvel movies, been in some war movies. Good actor, but he gets the points for me because, yeah, he does. He's like nonstop. Okay, he's tied up, right? Then he beats up that dude while he's tied up, takes the keys, gets it, kills the other guy, who, by the way, that guy was annoying when he was done. Shoot the plane! Shoot it!
Yeah, he was panicking.
Yeah, he got what he deserved. Not really. He didn't deserve to die. But he, you know, that's probably why he died. Because he was annoying. So he kills that guy, and he causes a lot of havoc, even after he's like captured, like doing the Morse code, telling them where they are. So I'll give him props. But other than that, the people who are in the beginning are just sort of like nameless, faceless soldiers, and the only other villain is a ship. Literally a big ship. Like, you know, there's not like a guy on it that's like, you know, has some big presence that's command. Nope. Yeah. It's the ship itself is the threat. What am I going to sit here and give a ship a 5? I can't do it. So yes, I gave it a 3 as well. I think it's good enough for the story, but I don't think it is the story. You know what I mean? Like, it's not the most important part. This is more of a survival action thriller. The villains almost are secondary. Like, they're just there to get these guys into this situation that we need. You know what I mean? It's not us versus them. It is, but more grand, like big picture. So
agree.
Yeah. So I gave it a 3. You gave it a 3. All right. Action scenes.
This movie has no, I had that. Okay. Cause this is a very tricky way to say action. Very tricky because we did a lot of war movies. That is a lot of action, not so much action, not action at all. Yeah. This one is very tricky because you do get action sequences only once when it shoots the torpedo towards the destroyer. But then in the beginning, when it shoots, they fight each other and they miss with the missiles, right? Mm-hmm. They do like the miss, they're close to each other, whatever. But most of the stuff is them dropping the landmines or whatever you call it with the barrels, and they're trying to find them and blow them up. I forgot what it's called, but you know what I'm talking about. They're dropping the barrels.
They're called depth charges.
Depth charges. Yeah, yes. The depth charges. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, that's the most action you're going to get here. Here's a lot of depth action. You get some that explodes when there was other submarines, and then, you know, them going through a weave of them. Nate, I was really hard on this. I mean, not hard, like, in terms of hard to choose a score. It was very hard for me because I think it elevates when they shoot that one missile to blow it up, right? When they shot their cannon gun to destroy the radio, which I was, oh, that shit was dope. It was really hard. I'm going to give it a 4 because I think for the suspense of the film, and I know why it won sound design because the sound in this movie was amazing. I got to say, it's up there with Crimson Tide for me in terms of sound. So I had to say, yeah, I got to go because that scene that they're exploding. I mean, gee, those depth charges were going off but they were going, oh, that boom, 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 boom. And I'm like, holy shit, my speakers are vibrating. I said, let's stop. I was like, God damn it, stop it already. I was like, Jesus. I was like, but I got into it. I was like, guys, stop. He's like, we get the point.
My roof is going to collapse.
Yeah, my roof was like, the kids are going crazy because it's just explosions. Yeah. But yeah, I gave it a 4. I thought for what it was, I think they did a great job. So I gave
it. I gave it a 4 too. I mean, I think you forgot one though that's pretty good. One? The scene where Bill Paxton dies when they're boarding the ship with the machine guns.
Oh, the surprise attack. Oh, yeah. Jesus.
They're shooting machine guns in the thing. Yeah. And that scene was a lot of fun. Like them coming up and they're like, we got dirty magazines, whatever. And then they throw them up and then they realize oh shoot, this is a, and they just start shooting people. And then there's like a gunfight, and he's like, get on. And then they get in, and then they're shooting in the little corridor, shooting machine guns, and then they blow up the American submarine.
That one caught me off. Yeah, that caught me off guard.
So there is that scene, which was fun. Other than that, you're right. It's mostly underwater torpedoes. It's more suspense type stuff. You do get the depth charges blowing stuff up, and you do get that destroyer getting absolutely just obliterated at the end of the movie with the torpedo. Yeah. You shoot that torpedo, that thing just boom, boom. And you know, I love these movies, and this is why it was in the little earthquake line, I guess, because they blow up stuff back then. You know what I mean? There's no CGI explosions here, baby. We got fireballs and explosions. And that's what I'm here for, dude. The water's on fire at that one part. There's like fire on top of the water. Like, I just like real fire. I think maybe I'm a pyromaniac. I don't know. I hate when they do CGI explosions, and I love real explosions. So this was a 2000 movie, but obviously it would have been made in the 90s. It feels like it feels like a 90s movie more than a 2000s movie.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, it's at the tail end, but it has that realistic feel where it's like they blew stuff up, which I like. So yeah, I gave it a 4. I wouldn't say this is like the most action, but it's got like a couple of short set pieces, but very well executed. They look great, you know, and they used miniatures. They used a combination of different techniques. And so I think it turned out very well. So I gave it a 4 as well. Okay. Storyline.
Okay. That was another part of me where I was just like, I don't, it's really hard. It's because it's such a simple storyline. They're there just for a computer encoder. That is it. They infiltrate the boat. They blow up their submarine, and now they're using Russian boats, which I thought that was a brilliant part of them. Did not know where what was what, and the only guy that knows how to read German running around going, this is where you got to do this. This is where you got to do that.
What's Klar?
Yeah. That was funny. That's what I'm saying. Like, that was very brilliant. And then by the end of it, they knew what goes where. So I thought that worked very well. I thought it was very lovable between all of them. Even the one scene that Matthew McConaughey, Bill Paxton's foreshadows when he says, he tells him, the reason I didn't give you the post is because I feel you're not the type of person that will put someone in danger to get the job done. Mm-hmm. And he does. He tells the guy, you got to go down there to pull the damn lever because you're the skinniest one. And he dies. He pretty much drowns.
It saves
everyone though. Yep. So again, there was a lot of that camaraderie stuff. And I kind of like that. That was really good. I was very shocked that I liked this movie. And this is what I was saying in the beginning where I said, for me watching these type of movies, I changed in terms of a viewer, in terms of watching, because normally I was a simple palate. It was very much superhero movies and action movies. I grew my palate, meaning like I expanded my horizons.
You like war movies now. I remember you saying when we started, you don't watch war movies, you don't like war. And we've done so many that you have like loved.
I started to get into those movies a lot, and I liked a lot. And then it's crazy because I went to the theaters to see Sinners. Normally, even my wife was like, wow, this is a shocker that you wanted to see a type of movie like this. I literally said, yeah, let's go see it. And I enjoyed it for what it was. I was like, wow, that's pretty good. But what I'm saying is like the podcast helped me open up and watch different type, whether it's not even action, whether it's just a normal drama or suspense or even horror. But it allowed me to open up and enjoy some stuff that I never knew that I would enjoy. But now I do. This movie, I liked a lot. And it's weird because no one talks about this movie.
None. Nope. Nobody.
Nate, I never, besides you bringing this shit up for this podcast, I never heard people go, you 571 is one of the greatest submarine. No, never, ever. And it reminded me of a Jack Ryan movie from the Harrison Ford era, the Clear Present Danger.
When it comes to sub movies, you pretty much hear three.
Crimson Tide. Time.
Crimson Tide, Hunt for Red October, Das Boot. Those are like the three.
Dom Periscope.
The comedy. If you want a comedy, but like those are the three like big dogs of sub movies. And what was your score? I don't know. Did you give
it? Oh, I'm sorry. I gave it a 4.
A 4. Okay. And I don't know. I wouldn't personally. I see why those are, because those are fantastic movies. Like, I mean, the best of the best. But there are other ones out there. And so for me, I agree with you. I also gave the story a 4. I like it. I think it's good. I really don't care. Again, this never said based on a true story. So I don't care about that part of it as far as if it's not accurate, whatever. The point of the movie is these guys need to go get this Enigma machine because the Nazis are sending out signals. They can't read them. They can't, you know, decipher them. And that's the mission. They're disguised as they get hit by depth charges. These guys disguise themselves as a Nazi, like a repair boat, pretty much. And that's why they need the two guys who speak German. They're going to board. They're going to take the machine and they're going to sink the U-571. That's the plan. And it goes awry and it doesn't go as planned. And then they have to basically commandeer this boat and now survive in this German sub. And I like it. The only thing that kept it from a 5 for me, beside the ending, I don't love, you know, like they're on the little lifeboat and then a plane flies over and then it's over. Like, okay, sure. I, you know, and then they give you text.
No,
I'm okay with text, but I would rather just have seen maybe like a little montage of like them being able to do certain things. That would have been cooler to me. But other than that, I think it's very solid. Is it on the level of... No, it's not as good as Crimson Tide. It's not as good as Hunt for Red October. It's not as good as... Das Boot is... I mean, it's German, but it's super intense. This is not quite intense as that, but it's maybe like the next tier right down, which is nothing wrong with that. It's a very good movie. I liked it. So yeah, I think the storyline's good. It's easy to follow. Sometimes these movies can get a little convoluted. That's not the case here. You know exactly what's going on all the time. And it's a survival movie. And who doesn't love a good, solid survival movie? If done well, you know, they're a lot of fun. Especially, I think being underwater adds a little level of stress to it as well.
Yeah.
You know, because it could go bad. If that thing breaks all the way, they're drowning. They're dead. That's it. There's no escape.
My favorite part is when they're going down to test the boat, to test the submarine, and they got to take the hammer and test the pipe and it busts. he was like wrapping up, like, whatever.
Get that patch, the patch.
The German dude. I think it was German when they were like, the Germans were like, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was kind of the hammer went through the pipe.
Yeah, that was funny. Yeah. I mean, water's scary as it is, like drowning. Nobody wants to do that. So I agree with you. I think it's very good. All right. So what's your overall score for this movie?
I don't think it's perfect. You're absolutely right. I love Crimson Tide. I haven't watched it in a while, but I really like it a lot. This movie, I gave it a 4. I think it's a great film. You're really, I think once the movie, once they take over the U-571, it gets fun because they don't know how to maneuver this thing. They have no missiles. The mechanic has to figure out how to fix the torpedo bay. Mm-hmm. So like they have so much obstacle courses, try to get from point A to point B. And I kind of like it. I thought it was really good, very suspense. And once those depth charges scenes started happening, I kind of loved it because it was so quiet. Like the movie was very ambient noises everywhere. And I think it played a major role in the film because you said it the best. Like you really don't know what was going to happen. Like right. You're just like, oh, damn, man, these dudes going to get hit with some type of a thing. And I thought it was really fun. So I gave it a 4. I think this is a great movie. And I purchased it because it was $4.99 digitally. But I think I could see myself buying this on like on 4K. If they ever decide to, because I don't think they will. But if they do, I'll definitely, due to the sound, I think it would be amazing. But yeah, I gave it a 20. I mean, a 4.
Yeah, I do have this on, I got the Blu-ray of it. And it was one that, like, again, another one, like, I bought it at the bookstore for like $4 or $5 because I knew we were going to do it here. So I just never really got around to watching. I mean, it was a success, a budget of $62 million, box office $127 million, and it's an Oscar winner. So Universal, Kino. It's a Universal movie. It could, I don't think it will either. Maybe Blu-ray might be the last format for it. I don't know. It looks great, by the way. Blu-ray looks great. I don't have any complaints. I'm glad I own it. It will, you know, whenever I watch a movie, whenever I watch a movie that I've never seen, it either goes in the trade pile or it goes on the shelf. This one, I'm keeping. Shelf. I like it. I would definitely watch this again. I could see myself doing like a submarine movie like marathon, and it would be a good one to put like right in the middle. You know, you don't start with it, you don't finish with it. Start with like a banger, you end with a banger, and this is like a mild banger, like, right? It's good. I gave it a 4 as well.
Well, it's kind of funny, right? Because we did the other one with Harrison Ford's bad Russian accent with Liam Neeson.
Oh, K-19.
K-19 Widowmaker.
And we're doing another submarine movie because we got Gerard Butler month. There's a movie called Hunter Killer, which is a submarine movie.
Okay.
But it's not as good. I don't remember it being as good as this one. I think Gary Oldman's in that too.
We did K-19 Widowmaker. I will say this. This is a step up. U-571 is a way step up from K-19 Widowmaker, which I did enjoy a little bit. But me and you, our problems were the same, was that Harrison Ford just acted like Harrison Ford with no Russian accent.
Liam Neeson and Harrison Ford, and they made Harrison Ford the Russian guy.
Not Liam Neeson. Not
Liam Neeson. Liam Neeson, at least he's like, you know, European. Maybe he could do the accent better. I don't know. And that was Catherine Bigelow. She's a great director. This movie's better.
No, you're absolutely right. So we did that, right? We did K-19 Widowmaker. We did the Red Hunt for October, right? With Sean Connery and Alec Baldwin, right? Yep. Jack Ryan. Now we did U571. We did Crimson Tide. So we did four so far.
Yeah.
With summary.
Well, we did Crimson Tide for YouTube. We did not. We haven't done it on Action Movie Guys yet.
Oh.
We did it for Tony Scott Director Month.
So we might have to do it again.
And K-19 we did for Catherine Bigelow Month. But I don't know if we're gonna. I don't know if we're gonna. I don't know if I can get through that one. Schedule. But yeah.
Yeah, but we could, maybe we could fit it in one of those months with other submarines.
Yeah. But the thing with Crimson Tide, and the only reason I never put it here, was it's not super action oriented. Like it's just a underwater thriller, but it's so good. Like the dialogue and Denzel and Gene Hackman, it's like a power struggle between the two. So I don't know if we'll do, I mean, maybe we could.
Though. I mean, we still did the movie with one explosion. So technically we could do
it. Tequila Sunrise?
Tequila Sunrise.
That was good. Yeah, that's true. We could just do it and just say, it doesn't have a lot of action, but the movie's great. Check it out anyway.
Actually, we'll get a one.
Yeah, one explosion. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, so as far as submarine movie goes, I say this is definitely good. Very good. Yeah. I gave it a 4. What's your total points?
20. I can't really say this. 20 out of 25.
You know, all the people at home should thank me for making the schedule and picking these movies that I've never seen a good amount of them. So I use it as an excuse, but I know you haven't seen certain ones. I'm like, they should thank me because look, it's opened up your world. Like, you like war movies now.
Yep.
You love submarines. Everything.
I love submarines, but still hate underwater fighting.
I still hate underwater movies, but I like this one. I have a 19, okay. Only because the leads I gave 1 point lower. Everything else, we were on the same exact score. A very good movie. If you've never seen U571, I would stop short of calling it a hidden gem, but it's definitely underrated. I would say it's underrated.
It could be a diamond in the rough.
Yeah, it's definitely underrated. Yeah. All right, now, time to announce the next theme. I'm very excited. I think this might lead to 4 of our better reviews. I'm not even going to lie, because I could see us going in different directions on a number of these movies. So it's going to be a lot of fun. First, our next franchise is going to be RoboCop. So we will be doing the RoboCop Director's Cut, and then RoboCop 2, RoboCop 3, and then the RoboCop remake. Sometimes I include remakes in these. Sometimes I don't. In this case, I'm going to include the remake in this one. And then our other theme. Okay. The theme that we're pairing along with it. 4 movies. These are movies that are comic book films, okay? Based on comic books, but are no sequels. One movie.
One-offs.
Now, there is one of these that's getting a reboot in the future. However, when I made this list a year ago, 2 years ago, whatever it was. So the movies are going to be one that I love that I know you don't like that much. So that's why I can't wait. We're going to be doing Scott Pilgrim vs. the World. We're going to be doing Constantine. We're going to be doing Spawn, a 90s. You never seen Spawn? Oh my God.
I remembered it from everybody, but I never seen the movie.
Oh, bro, I can't wait to. I might move Spawn. I might have to move that up. And then the other one is Bloodshot. Have you seen Bloodshot? With Vin Diesel?
Yes, that's the Vin Diesel. Yeah, I've seen that.
Okay. So you've seen 3 out of the 4. All right, I'm going to move Spawn up. So we're going to do our episodes will be RoboCop, the original, and Spawn.
Okay.
So we'll move Scott Pilgrim down with RoboCop 3. I'm just going to swap their spots. So yes. And obviously, I'll we'll send a reminder. But yes, next episodes, RoboCop, Spawn. I haven't seen Spawn since I was a kid. So, but I remember it. It like stuck in my mind that much. I just remember he had this cape. And it's all CGI, but it was like 90s. So it looks, I remember worse. As a kid thinking, that looks horrible. What is going on? So I'm very interested to watch it with my adult eyes.
Mm.
And that's the one that's getting a reboot with Jamie Foxx. They've already started releasing some, like I saw a still on Instagram of the mask and everything. So we'll see how it turns out, but yep.
Mm. All right. Well, with that said, you guys want to follow us in our social media accounts, please follow Nate over on Instagram at Nateflix Reviews. Check out the podcast with him and his friends called Nateflix Movie Reviews. Hitting Action Movie Guys, head over to youtube.com/Action Movie Guys. Subscribe, leave comments on your favorite episode. And of course, you can take us on the go with the Action Movie Guys podcast, available on all podcast platform. And of course, you can follow us, Geeks and Flicks, on Instagram and TikTok under Geeks, the letter N, Flicks. Other than that, he is your host,
Nate from Nateflix Reviews.
I'm his co-host, Alex Figueroa. Be awesome to each other and geek out.